The next issue that our authors take us through is the relationship between apologetics and science, right? And so what is the relationship between these two perspectives and disciplines? And they say that classical apologetics generally try to maintain a balanced view of science, so neither uncritically endorsing it nor hypercritically rejecting it. They believe, the classical apologists believe, that apologists should seek to show that Christianity is consistent with scientific facts, and that this usually, though not always, includes comparing what Christianity says about the world and mankind with what current scientific theories have concluded. But notice, scientists can be wrong. And so the way science is applied by both scientists and non-scientists often leads to error. And so what this means then is that Christians should be cautious, right? And this is the approach that these classical apologists take. Christians should be cautious about endorsing current scientific theory too uncritically as scientific theories change, right? And so there's a warning there. Yes, you want to embrace science to a certain extent, but you don't want to embrace it uncritically because theories change. And so, you know, you might be left on a limb that's been sawed off, right?
Right. So. Right. And for our YouTube overlords, we mean past science. We don't mean current science. Current science is not flawed. Currently, all things that scientists have said right now are absolutely true, and they will definitely not change like they have in the past two weeks or so. So, that's true. But here we can harken back to things like geocentrism, and we can say, oh, you know, Christians were so easily to embrace geocentrism because the idea was, well, you know, God of course is going to create in perfect spheres, and so all you just need to have is spheres upon spheres, and that's the model. So how many spheres there are, and whether there's ether in the way, that's a question that can be talked about among the sciences, but we definitely can't question the spheres. Except then there are these things called wanderers in the sky that that seem to overturn the model, and science goes through this period of revolution, and that seems to be the case for our scientific conclusions. In fact, we could postulate from Newtonian mechanics to relativity, and then even from relativity to string theory, and then whatever might be next, because it seems like small things and big things in the universe we have a hard time with figuring those things out, and so all this might overend. And so when we hitch our wagon and say, this is how God created with string theory, and then it's overturned, well, then doesn't that hurt our witness? And are we saying that this has to be the case, that this science must be true, and to overturn it, then we're going to be outside the realm of truth and into I don't know, worse than dogma at that point. That's the warning that's being attributed here. Well, Geisler, while finding much value in the scientific evidence for the creation and design of the universe and for the creation of life and mankind, is cautious about overstating the case. He says that since science is limited and progressive, we should not expect complete agreement in every detail with the biblical presentation. However, the amount of present agreement is striking. So again, if God is a God of order, what will we see? Will we see things done orderly in the universe, in the supposedly chaotic universe where an explosion has created everything, and it's rained on the rocks for millions of years, and a lightning struck it and turned the ooze into something that can be single-celled and then turned into multi-celled, and then you know, the fish grows legs and finds a mate that's somehow within the hundreds of miles that it is, and it also evolves into asexual to sexual reproduction, and then dinosaurs, and then back to chickens, and then all these things. So, you know, are we saying that that can't be the case? Well, Geisler is saying we have to be careful with always being in agreement with that. However, there seems to be an amount of order within the universe that we can attribute to a God of creation. And again, that's what classical argument from this first leaping off point of saying there is a God, And then the second one is, okay, exactly who is that God? And again, those things might overlap as well. But that's where some classical apologists will make their case.
All right.